We're going to go to Deuteronomy. So today I'd like to share on some things, some more lessons in living from God's Word. Three subjects. One is not to forget. Number two is to remember. And the third is to fellowship. And all three really do have a relationship with one another, as we'll see. Mm-hmm. But the way God made our brains, it's quite marvelous. He made our brain so that we can forget things that we choose, and we can remember things that we choose. If we didn't forget certain details in life, it might be a harrowing experience. Because we grew up in the world, the devil is the ruler of the world, and there's a lot of junk that our brains have seen or heard that you really don't want being in your thinking every single day. And it's actually a blessing that those things have kind of escaped your day-to-day thinking, unless somebody brings it up. Even then, I mean, sometimes people bring things up, and I can't remember for the life of me. You know, it's just like completely gone. And we've all said, I can't believe I forgot that. You know, but our brains can't forget. When I was in high school, I took a lot of math. I did the your geometry and your calculus, your trigonometry, and there was a couple others, matrix. And I couldn't remember how to put a trigonometry thing together to save my life. You know, it's all those letters and numbers and parentheses and middle fingers. Like, try this one. And at one time, I could read it, understand it, and actually do it. Today, it's just letters and numbers. But I can still add, subtract, divide, multiply, and that's because I use those every day. I don't use the trigonometry or the calculus calculations. If I was a physicist or engineer, perhaps I would, but even those people, they just plug in the information in the computer, and the computer does all the work. But our brains can remember that which we utilize a lot, and it can forget what we allow. In the book of Deuteronomy, it's the record of just the time period just before Israel enters into the promised land. And I've been reading Deuteronomy and Numbers a lot in the last number of weeks. And it stuck out to me two words that kept coming up. The one was the word forget, and the other one was the word remember. And God keeps telling Israel to forget something, or not to forget something, and to remember. And we're just going to read some of these verses and just see the impact of it. And the first one is in Deuteronomy 4. Verse 9, and God's telling them that he wanted them to realize that they have it really good. There's no nation that has the things that Israel had. No nation had the great laws that Israel had. And in verse 9 he says, only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. He did not want them to forget the things that they had saw. They had saw some great things that God had done for them coming out of Egypt, and in those 40 years in the wilderness, incredible things that God had done, and they saw them with their very eyes, and he didn't want them to forget. Verse 23, same chapter. Take heed unto yourselves, lest you forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you, and make you a graven image, or the likeness of anything which the Lord thy God hath forbidden thee. If you forget, maybe you're going to make those graven images. Chapter 6, verse 12. Then beware, lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. And he was referring to, you're going to come in there, you're going to get all these wonderful great things that you didn't have to build. But don't get sidetracked, lest you forget. Chapter 8, verse 11. Again, he's going to use the word beware before he mentions about not forgetting. Chapter 8, verse 11. We're going to read a few of these verses here. It says, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwell therein, and when the herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart is lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through the great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions, and drought where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who led thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee and that he might prove thee, to do thee good at the latter end. Thou shalt say in thine heart, my power and my might, my hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, and to this day, as it is to this day. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish. So again, he's bringing up, don't forget about me. Don't get sidetracked. Chapter 9, verse 7. Says, remember and forget not. There's an electrician we used to have, some of you know him, his name was Andy Chapman, nice fella. And he used to always say, well not always, but he often said, I never forget that which I remember, and I always remember that which I don't forget. I thought it was pretty funny. But here, God's saying, remember and forget not how thou provokest the Lord thy God to wrath in the wilderness, from the day that thou didst depart out of the land of Egypt until you came unto this place. You have been rebellious against the Lord. He wanted them to remember that they were just a rebellious, hard-ass group of people who didn't want to believe him, but he still took care of them. Chapter 25. As parents, we've told our children at times, you know, don't forget to do this, or remember to do that. It's very important. There are warnings many times. Chapter 25, verse 19. Therefore, it shall be, when the Lord thy God hath given thee rest from all thine enemies round about in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance to possess it, that thou shalt blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. Thou shalt not forget it. Amalek had done something very devilish to God's people, and God was going to wipe that whole nation out so that there was no remembrance. And he wanted Israel to remember that that's what I want. They're going to be annihilated. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Did I read the wrong verse? Give me the wrong verse. Chapter 3, verse 1. Says, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. Pretty succinctly stated. Chapter 4, verse 5. Get wisdom, get understanding. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Let's go to Psalm 119. Great declaration in this psalm from David. Psalm 119. And this is something we want to imitate and do imitate. Psalm 119, verse 93. We're just going to read a couple of these. It says, I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me and made me alive. 109. My soul is continually in my hand, yet do I not forget thy law. 141. I am small and despised, yet do not I forget thy precepts. 153. Consider mine affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget thy law. And all these show how he was not necessarily in a good way because the circumstances around him were thrown at him. But in all those things, he still remembered the word. Even though it was maybe a tough time for his life, as we know, David was on the threshold of being killed a number of times by Saul and other people. And he still kept the word in his head. He didn't forget and allow fear or other things to come in. Let's go back to Deuteronomy chapter 5. And we're just going to read these because there's a lot of them. Only 2,560. Those count. This is the word remember. I just think it's amazing how often God brings this thing up to remember. Chapter 5, verse 15. And can we learn from it? Surely. And remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. Therefore the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. He wanted them to remember that. Chapter 7, verse 18. Verse 18. Thou shalt not be afraid of them, but shalt well remember what the Lord thy God did unto Pharaoh and unto all Egypt. And remember what I did for you earlier. Chapter 8, verse 2. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or not. Verse 18, same chapter. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto the fathers, as it is this day. Chapter 9, verse 7. Remember and forget not how thou provokest the Lord thy God in wrath in the wilderness, from the day that thou didst depart out of the land until you came unto this place. You have been rebellious against the Lord. Just to forget and remember. Chapter 9, verse 27. Remember thy servants, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Look not unto the stubbornness of this people, nor to their wickedness, nor to their sin. Chapter 15, verse 15. God wanted Israel to remember a lot of things, mostly of him. Chapter 15, verse 15. And thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in the land of Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee. Therefore I command thee this thing today. Chapter 16, verse 3. Thou shalt eat no unleavened bread 7 days. That's not it.
Yeah.
Oh, is it? Okay. Yep. Even the bread of affliction. For thou comest forth out of the land of Egypt in haste, that thou mayest remember the day when thou camest forth out of the land of Egypt all the days of thy life. Verse 12. And thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in Egypt, and thou shalt observe and do the statutes. We just read that 2 verses ago. It's not that God's stuttering. Is that it must be really important for those guys to have remembered, keep that in their remembrance. Chapter 24, verse 9. we're certainly encouraged to remember his word. Chapter 24, verse 9. Remember what the Lord thy God did unto Miriam by the way, after that ye were come forth out of Egypt. Verse 18. But thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee thence. Therefore I command thee to do this thing. Again, he's just reminded where they were. Verse 22. And thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in the land of Egypt. Therefore I command thee to do this day. Sounds like a broken record. Something. What God wanted them to remember. Chapter 25, verse 17. Remember what Amalek did unto thee by the way when you were come forth out of Egypt. And chapter 32, verse 7. Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father, and he will show thee. Thy elders, and they will tell them. One of them to remember where their past was, with the great power of God. Let's go to Joshua chapter 1, just a couple pages over. We're going to go into the promised land soon. Verse 13. Remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God hath given you rest and hath given you this land. Remember that. Let's go to Ecclesiastes, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, chapter 12. We're only going to read the first verse, but it's a great Orientalism about old age, how the body gets old and starts to fall apart. All that stuff. Some of us could relate to that, perhaps. But the beginning of it is verse 1 of chapter 12. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. You know, remember them now, when you're a young guy. And you can have all of life enjoying that greatness of God Almighty. Not just on your deathbed. Numbers, chapter 15. Back to Numbers. This is a wonderful verse. God showed how to remember. Chapter 15. And remember, God designed our brains to be able to hold information, to consistently hold it all our lives. Now, who of us here does not remember our own name? We know our name. We've known it all our life. You know, it's available. Just proves right there. It's available to hold on to something all your life. For sure. 15. Now I don't remember where I'm going. No. Verse 38. Here's a practical application of how to remember. Speak unto the children of Israel and bid them that they make them fringes in the borders of their garments throughout their generations, and that they put upon the fringe of the borders a ribbon of blue, and it shall be unto you for a fringe, that you may look upon it and remember all the commandments of the Lord and do them, and that ye seek not after your own heart and your own eyes, after which you used to go whoring, that you may remember and do all the commandments and be holy unto your God. He wanted them to have those fringes on their borders to be a reminder of God, of his word. And we do that with scriptures on the walls. We do that with, you know, all different things that will remind us, to communicate to us about God or the greatness of him. And we do it all the time. You know, a lot of pictures in this house have the word written in them somehow or another, or a great event of God's doing of something, or, you know, but we do that, and it's a great principle of having something that will remind us of his word We used to have those little SIT stickers to remind us of speaking in tongues. Just whatever it is that works for our thinking, you know, could be anything. But here, God specifically wanted them to do it that way. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. This is interesting in light of the one body, the living the mystery, and what we've been given in Christ Jesus, the many, 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 many great things that we have and are to live and walk in and think about. And it's interesting how God brings this up in Ephesians. It almost looks like it's a negative thing, but it can't be if God wants us to do it. Chapter 2, verse 11. After he just got done telling us we used to be owned by the devil, then God saved us. Verse 11, wherefore remember that ye be in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of providence, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. It's almost like that verse that kept being repeated, you know, remember that one time you were bondmen in Egypt. Remember where you were and what I got you out of. To stay humble, to remember at one time we ran around like a stupid person being controlled by the world, like a puppet. You know, the devil pulls a string, and our thinking and our actions were run by the world. Amazing. But he wants us to remember it in the sense that to remember what God has pulled us out of and what one time we allowed. Jesus Christ set up the memorial of the broken body and the shed blood. And that's to be a reminder for us of what Jesus Christ accomplished and what God has been able to work because of that. And it's a memorial, it's a reminder for us. He's the one that instituted it. So it's quite interesting. And lastly, we're going to look at fellowship really quick. And we're going to go to Acts chapter 2. And the reason why I say there's a correlation between fellowship and not forgetting and remembering is because fellowship, when we're fellowshipping with believers, we help remind each other of what the Word says. We help remind each other to do the Word or to grow in it, or help it reminds us to forget about certain things. Just let that thing go, you know. So Acts chapter 2, this is the beginning of the church, as we know, verse 42, and they continued, referring to the believers that just got born again and were just starting to learn the Word, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers, and fear or respect came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together and had all things common. And sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one heart in the temple and breaking bread from house to house did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And so they were fellowshipping with one another. They were growing in the Word. They were staying steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, and it had to be a blessing. It had to help one another. If we're an island unto the world, the best we're going to be is what our brains can conjure up of what God's Word says. But if we're with people that are speaking the Word, it's a help. It's a help of reminding. I know many, many, many times in my life where I had maybe something going on in my thinking, and another believer was in the room and didn't even know what was going on in my thinking, and they said something, and it was, you know, God working in their heart, to bless me. And I'm like, oh, thanks God. I mean, how many times have we experienced that? Or we've done that for somebody. Or we said something that was like, it just like fell out of our mouth. And the next week somebody said, ah, that just so helped me. And you know, and you're like, I don't know, just talking. But it's God working in believers. And that's sort of like that fringe that you see on the border. You know, it's something that allows us to help one another and to be helped. That fellowship. It's really unbelievable. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, the opposite. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. You know, God's interested in us growing and walking with Him. And fellowshipping with like-minded believers helps attain that. Helps build that. Chapter 6, verse 14. It says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, and God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. But fellowshipping with unbelievers, it's just a lot of times it's draining. There's no give and take of the word. It's just junk that we're exposed to. You almost like have to wear a suit of armor to not get affected. But, you know, it's just not God's will. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 10. In Ephesians it says, don't fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. And the word unfruitful there is the word for no fruit. It's so funny. That's the definition. No fruit. It's just, there's no fruit in darkness at all. There really isn't. Chapter 10, verse 24. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and in much the more as you see the day approaching. You know, exhorting one another, provoking one another to do the work. It's an active choice to want to fellowship with God's people. And when we don't allow that in our lives, it does have an effect, not a good one. but we need each other. So fellowshipping does have a lot to do with not forgetting and to remember, because that is part of the process, just like that fringe that God wanted the Israelites to have on their clothing. Something to remind them of the living Word of God. And what better than us? You know, where the Spirit of God dwells in us, and we can operate His Word, speak His Word, and operate the manifestations. What better exposure can we have, at least at this time? I mean, in the next administration of time, there's going to be better options to go. Plus, at that point, whatever comes out of our mouth will be completely perfect. We won't have to filter even that. But, you know, it's just great. And what a practical thing to do for God's Word, to fellowship with God's people, and to give and to receive in that relationship. And when it's on the Word, it's sweet. And lastly, we're going to look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. I mean, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse 1. It says, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. And it's referring to the gathering together of God's people, as we know. And Dr. Will had often mentioned this verse in light of that it's the gathering of the believers in fellowships and stuff like that is the closest thing that we have to the gathering of the body of Christ. There's nothing on earth that's closer than that, what that will be when God's people get together and they have the word living in their life and they want to bless each other, want to give, and want to grow together. It's the closest thing to this verse that we have available to us. I mean, going to the movies can be fun or whatever, you know, but there's nothing like being with God's people. Absolutely nothing. So we endeavor to guard that as much as possible and to contribute that as much as possible. And it does help us to remember the greatness of God and His Word, and it helps us to forget what we should forget about crap in our lives or crap going on in the world or whatever, or how to overcome something. So it's great. So a little bit from Deuteronomy.